This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much to all our speakers. I've had three very, very interesting sessions there with very, very different views on things, but all very pertinent to today's conference. Now, we've got about 20 minutes for questions before refreshments. As before, if you have a question, please wait till the microphone gets to you, and do let us know who you are and where you're from. Has anybody got any questions to start us off? We'll perhaps take one or two to start with. Yes, there's one here. Any others? Okay, let's start here. Thanks.
Hello, Charlotte Rennick, University of Bradford. Can I just ask Catherine a little bit more about the alumni mentoring scheme and how that actually worked?
Basically, it's something that has really been driven by our student services. For a long time now, on the widening participation front, we've offered mentoring with our students to prospective students in schools through AIM Higher. So we kind of already had a bit of a reputation for mentoring, and what this was about was really it's helping to increase our retention. It's part of the retention strategy. So it's kind of really driven by them, and that's really part of what we've been trying to do in marketing, is find other things that we could kind of assist with, because resources are always kind of finite, and it's trying to kind of maximise where you can make an impact. And that really came about purely by, almost a chance meeting between our alumni manager and student services, talking about future plans and really getting together. So, well, we can really market that for you. We're increasing all the communications that we're doing. And there, as I say, the response has been really outstanding.
Okay. Any others? Any other questions? I've got one for the panel. What I'd be interested to know, really, given the whole theme of today, is what do you think the biggest opportunity for marketers is in the sector in the next 5 years? And that's 5 years is a very long time in a digital world. But Richard, sorry to throw that one to you first.
That's okay. I think the biggest challenge for marketers is to step up to the top table in their institutions. And I think that there's a lot of literature outside of the sector that argues that marketing and strategy are intrinsically linked. And that all marketing is the external articulation of an organisation's strategy. And as marketeers, I think we are critical and well-placed to contribute to institutional success through that. Now, there were times when marketeers were seen as the people who did the prospectus or did the adverts. I think time's moved on a lot since then. And I think that the challenge is very much now with the director of finance at the top table, often with the academic registrar at the top table, that marketeers now step up and complete that and are there driving strategy with that senior team.
Thanks very much, Richard. Virginia?
Well, I don't know how many of you saw the article in the Times Higher a couple of weeks ago by a vice-chancellor, which was really predicting that once the fees review is over, that there really is likely now to, if not be a fragmentation of the sector, there's a possibility that you're going to get different types of mission groups charging different types of fees. Mm-hmm. So you might have your Ivy League universities, you might have your community universities. And I suspect, and other speakers have touched on this, that the opportunity and the challenge is trying to differentiate yourselves in a way that not all universities are trying to offer the same thing, which is something that I think that's happening at the moment. Certainly, from the UCAS perspective, we're embarking on a major piece of work, which I suppose is our challenge, which is how can we make the UCAS system responsive to evolving needs in the different types of universities and colleges, and customising our offering. So one size does not fit all anymore, and I think that goes as much for the universities as it does for UCAS and the service. And perhaps to mention there that the postgraduate system, for example, UK Pass, now enables customised questions from each university, so you're able to ask different things. So I suspect it's that trend towards fragmentation, possibly customization, but within still the same sort of whole.
Thanks very much, Virginia. Catherine?
I think since the introduction of tuition fees, we've seen a real focus on marketing, and certainly for me, having worked in the sector quite a long time, it's been really exciting kind of seeing how marketing's changed. I actually think, you know, the next 5 to 10 years is going to be even more exciting because, as Virginia said, there is going to be this segmentation of universities. You know, they're predicting that the fees will raise and there will still be a cap in the first instance, but undoubtedly there are people pressing for that cap to come off, and it may come off for certain universities and it will raise for others. But what it will create is a proper market forces where you have to find your place in that market. So you have to be really clear about who you are, what you offer and what you stand for. So I actually think marketing is going to be critical to that. How can you make sure you have that place at the top table? Well, you really have to embed market research and measurement in everything you do. You have to be showing your return on investment. You have to be benchmarking against competitors so that you can really show the value of what you do.
Thanks very much. No, I think that's true. Any other questions? There's one thing I'm dying to ask. I think it's probably on everybody's mind, really, and it's something I'm hearing a lot about at the moment. And people are saying, well, we're in an economic downturn, so... You know, there's that legend, has it, about what happens with marketing then. Could that be the first thing that gets cut, which, you know, we'd all hopefully argue it's the one thing you should be investing in. But how should marketers cope with an economic downturn? Richard, do you want to have any thoughts on that?
I think some of the opportunities change, but fundamentally I think good marketing is about having a clear position and articulating it crisply into a marketplace. And building a relationship with our customers, so I'm sceptical that budget cuts should devastate that general approach to marketing. Now, I mean, I've been fairly lucky in that I've protected most of my budget this year, but I think it almost makes one re-examine the core strategy and look at what works and it's going back to having this clear message which you can spend millions and millions of pounds on this, but if your message isn't clear, if your CRM isn't working properly, you're wasting your spend.
No, I think that's true. It's making it all work harder, really, but also, as Catherine mentioned earlier too, that sense of demonstrable evaluation, really being able to really prove the effectiveness of what you're doing, that's part of that cyclical process with budgets. Virginia?
Well, I'm conscious that university marketers will know more about this than I do, but I wonder whether we'll see a move away from concentration on marketing to drive up applications as such. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people out there who are saying they want to go to university, and perhaps the focus has got to be more on ensuring retention and getting the right student to fit in the right place. And that then, for me, points far more to kind of the intelligent use of marketing resource. That's not to say that it's not intelligent at the moment, in terms of identifying what you are, what you stand for, the sorts of students that you know flourish at your institution, and go for them. Mm-hmm. Now, you could then argue, well, where does that fit in with widening participation if we're just going to go for clones of different types of students? But that's probably your surest bet. To clearly identify the type of student that's going to be happy and successful at your institution. And then you've got something else to sing about.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Catherine?
I think that we have to be kind of realistic. We all know the impending cuts and ongoing kind of public funding cuts. I went through budget cuts in the late 90s. I'm going through budget cuts now. And I think what it means, particularly for managers, is that you really do have to make sure you can measure what you're doing so you know which areas you need to invest in. I think picking up on what Virginia's just said, one of the things that I'm really trying to do is not just focus on that funnel effect. It's kind of, I don't really want to increase inquiries and applications. I want to focus on converting the good people that I want to get. So I think we'll see more of a focus on kind of CRM activities and really driving up the quality of the students. I think from a senior manager's perspective, more and more I find my time spending doing HR work as you review performance, as you review and restructure. I've spoken to a number of colleagues here today who are going through restructures, and I think I have to say that will come to us. But in fairness, we've seen a lot of our academic colleagues go through academic structure, so it's to be expected, really.
Yeah. Virginia, did you want to come back?
Well, perhaps just to say that it follows on that less is more in terms of getting possibly fewer but applicants, but the right ones. And it's very interesting to see, and it was referred to earlier, about how more and more universities are using their published grades or tariff points as a marketing tool. And there are several universities, I'm not sure if they're here today, but... Cambridge, Imperial, etc., who are starting to use the A-star now as a marketing tool, almost to say, well, let's start to focus on those sorts of students that we feel will do best in our institution. The other point that I'd just like to make, and it's probably a personal prejudice of mine, that I get very worried now when the emphasis is on the Mandelson speak of employability and how much you're going to earn, and treating the student as a consumer. And Richard, you touched on this a little bit as well. It's the service, the education, the experience, and it's the commoditizing of higher education, which I think is something we have to be mindful of and wary of, particularly in marketing messages.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Any last questions? Just one from me then. We've talked a lot about the future, and you know the future is something that's quite scary in terms of how fast planning horizons, how short planning horizons are now for everything in higher education. But you know, given that, say, 20 years ago, well, when I was working first in university 20 years ago, there was no such thing as marketing in universities. It didn't really happen at all. It was the management of recruitment, not even really sort of seeking applications at that time, you know, for some institutions. But increasingly now, you know, we're looking at new skills and the need for new skills and new approaches to marketing. What do you think are the challenges facing marketing professionals in terms of their own personal skills development for the future? That's a how long is a piece of string one, but are there specific things you think marketing professionals should need to be thinking about and perhaps managing themselves differently? You mentioned marketing is a lot about HR now. I mean, Catherine, would you have any thoughts on that?
I think certainly over the last kind of 18 months at Birmingham City University, I've noticed that a lot of my managers are having to spend that time nurturing staff and really thinking about staff training and development opportunities, because you do need such a broad base of skills, really. And I think it will be important to kind of encourage, and as one of the speakers earlier said, is keeping some of those old school skills, but making sure you invest in some of the new skills as well. Mm. I think one of the challenges that we'll see as kind of as budget sort of drives pressures is it'll be interesting to see how we operate in terms of centralised marketing versus faculty, or the collaborations between the two, and how those kind of tensions will fare.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's a very good point. Virginia?
Well, I would hope there's a good opportunity now for marketeers really to come into their own. I too remember when there wasn't a director of marketing, a director of admissions said, we don't use the M word in our institution. but it's more that it's moved away from being seen as a fraud or a spin to the intelligent science, and I think that's where these marketing skills are important. Also, and usually it's something that gets a kind of sigh of despair when one talks about course planning, but perhaps this is the time where marketeers can start to be more involved with planning courses. I heard a figure the other day, 80% of new courses actually fail. And I just do fear that that's because they're being dreamt up by people perhaps without a lot of marketing input in there.
Richard?
I mean, I'd just briefly say two contradictory things.
Surely not.
I think it's really, really important that we, in a recession in the future, that we do not become slaves to return on investment. I think clearly we have to demonstrate value for money and our effectiveness as a profession, but it's very important that we don't move above the tactics of what we do and talk about our contribution to strategy. If it was just about return on investment, then we'd only ever do Google AdWords and the wonderful pad mailing that UCAS provide. But just to contradict that slightly, I, in terms of the skill set that I think is going to be increasingly important, I was speaking to a group of market researchers in the sector a couple of weeks ago, and I think embedding market research skills and an ability to evaluate one's work within the marketing profession is going to become increasingly important. And what I said to the market researchers is I'm not completely convinced that market research should be a subsection of a marketing department. I think it's too important for that. I think it's something that needs to be embedded within the skill set of all marketing professionals. And I think increasingly that's going to become more and more important.
I think that's a very good point. Any last questions? Yes, we've got one here. Any others?
Hi there, my name is George Selby from the Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust, and I was just had a question relating to postgraduate education. We've talked a lot about undergraduate education. I just wondered if the panel could offer any advice about creative approaches to marketing towards postgraduate education.
Mm-hmm. Richard, do you want to start us with that?
Just over half of our students at Leicester are postgraduate, and something dear to my heart as a consequence. I think the first thing is research students and taught students are chalk and cheese. They are very, very different, and recruiting research students is much more akin to recruiting staff, and recruiting taught students is more akin to recruiting undergraduates. Postgraduate students are motivated by different things. That's clear from any research that one reads or deploys. They are highly likely to be international students, whereas the vast majority of our undergrads are home EU students. At postgraduate level, the converse is true. So that opens a different sphere of activity. And the key difference, the big difference, and I'm sure, you know, Virginia might come back and say UK pass here, but whereas at undergraduate level, one has, for full-time students, one has a very regulated system in the form of UCAS, which drives the process, so that important P of the marketing mix process. At postgraduate level, one doesn't have that. And I think that opens up a huge kettle of fish in terms of how one recruits postgraduate students, because one doesn't just have to interest them in your set of products. You've got to get them through the labyrinthine admissions and application processes that many of us have as institutions.
Thanks very much, Virginia.
Well, I suppose just to say that whilst UCAS is generally associated with undergraduate admissions, and certainly we've been in that business for 40-odd years, probably the fastest, biggest, highest growth area is in the postgraduate admissions. But the focus there is very much on the student experience as much as anything else. Time and time again now, we're told that when UCAS was first established, it was because universities started to get to a stage when they weren't sure who was going to be turning up. They had so many different applications. So by trying to give students at least a portal to go through, so that they're not having to send off a lot of individual applications, is something that we're certainly looking at. Also, as it grows, the data that can come out of that system is very important. But perhaps I should just add on to that, and again, it might have been spoken about earlier, but part-time, of course, is something that's coming up very fast, both in terms of undergraduate and postgraduate. For the first time, we promoted part-time courses on the UCAS website. And I think if Mandelson gets his way in terms of contact hours, it's going to be very interesting to see how many part-time courses have longer or more contact hours than some full-time. So I think, yes, with postgraduate, it's an important space to watch. We used to think, I think, with the recession, that students would be put off postgraduate because of rising debt. There hasn't really been huge evidence of that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Virginia. Catherine?
I would support what my colleagues have said about the importance of having kind of standardised admissions processes for postgraduate and for part-time that don't necessarily go through UCAS. We've just done a major inquiry management review and heard horror stories that I'm sure will exist in your universities where there were piles of postgraduate applications stood on someone's desk that had gone on sabbatical. So I think that is absolutely critical. I think postgraduate marketing has largely been ignored by a lot of universities. It's certainly an area that we're looking at the moment, and I think the starting point has to actually be looking at where your postgraduate students come from, the kind of trend in profile, who they are and what their habits are. I mean, most of our postgraduate students are full-time and they actually come from the regional area, so it makes it more cost-effective to target them. But I think you also need to ask them what information you want. This for years in research that's been produced nationally, mature students in particular and postgraduate students say they don't get enough targeted information. And I think there is still a kind of a lack of knowledge in the sector about, well, what exactly do we want to say to postgraduate students? And I think one of the difficulties that a lot of us face, certainly in institutions that I've worked at, is one of the key factors for their consideration is pricing. And in a lot of institutions, pricing is set too late or it's not visible on websites. You have to inquire first or you divide them to the faculty or the school. So I think those are the kind of fundamentals that I'd suggest. But a kind of anecdote that I'll give you, which is why our latest TV campaign is now legendary, is because we run a master's course in silversmithing, which, as you can imagine, is a fairly niche course and quite difficult to target. So it was absolutely fantastic this year when we recruited someone on that course because they'd seen on our TV adverts the word silversmith on a T-shirt that someone had worn on the advert. So you can target them quite creatively.
Thanks very much. Okay, we're out of time now for questions. Thanks so much to all of you for taking part, but also our panel. Thank you, Richard, Virginia, and Catherine for a really stimulating debate. Thanks very much.